Jesus, the messianic master from the dusty streets of Nazareth, who declared in John 12 in verse number 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. For the words I've spoken, the same words shall judge you in the last day. And so we must be concerned about the word of God. I want you to come with me to the book of John, the book of St. John. We look at the chapter 17, and then we'll rest our focus on verse number 21. In John chapter 17, in verse number 21, Jesus here, in his prayer to his Father, he prayed to his Father in verse 21 that they all may be one. That's the lesson for tonight. That we all may be one. And if we could understand this lesson tonight, we will clearly understand that God never had in mind denominational institutions. If we would just understand this lesson tonight, it was never God's design for one group to worship one way and another group to worship another way. I want to show you this tonight from the Godhead, that the Godhead had in mind that we all be one. And we're going to look at this tonight. We're going to look at the Godhead, and we talk about the Godhead. We recognize that the Godhead consists in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible said that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at them, and the Bible said these three agree in one. These three are one, and we recognize that the Godhead, when it came down to man's salvation, that the Godhead was in unison when it came down to how man would be saved. And so we're going to look at that tonight. And I want you to see this in regards to what was the plan of God. What was God's plan? And you're going to see this, that when it came down to man and his salvation, that God was the one who designed. It was Christ who directed and the Holy Spirit developed. I said God was the one who designed this plan to save man. It was Christ who directed the plan of God. And then it was the Holy Spirit who develops the plan so that man could understand what it was God will have him to do. And that's the simple lesson tonight. I don't have anything deep tonight, just to help us to see what was in the mind of the Godhead in regards to our salvation. Well, now Jesus said that we all might be one. When you think about that, this oneness means that there'll be no denomination. Everybody would be the same. Everybody would be worshiping the same. Everybody would be called the same thing when it came down to religion. And so therefore, because we see all of this mass confusion, what this means tonight is somebody is not listening to the word of God. Let's look. Let's study tonight. Let's start off with God the Father. What was in God's mind? Since God was the one who designed the plan, what was in God's mind? Come with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 1. Hope I didn't lose my reader. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse number 9, listen to the apostle Paul. I think the brother's reading is gone. He says in verse number 9, having made known unto us, the Bible said, the mystery of God's divine will according to his good pleasure, which God purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God will gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us, first of all, that God's will, God has a will. What is God's will? You got to understand that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, and you have it, my brother, 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. Listen to what Peter says. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering. I said God been putting up with folk a long time. God been putting up with some of us a long time. But the Bible said God is long-suffering. Why is that? He's not willing. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to be lost, but man will be lost if he does not obey God. Get from me 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and verse number 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Who will? Don't miss that now. Who will? What is God's will? God's will is that everybody be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You cannot be saved until you come to the knowledge of truth. Amen. Somebody asked the question, what is truth? Jesus in his prayer, John 17:17 said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word. Is truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And so therefore, my friend, God's will. And back in 1 Ephesians chapter 1, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, 9 and 10, the Bible said that in the dispensation fullness of time, God wants to gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. This is God's design. God's design is that everybody be together. Where are we going to be together? In Jesus Christ. This is what God wants. God the Father, God wants all of us to be one. All of us one. Well, because you got to understand, this was God. God was the one who designed. Now, Jesus Christ came. And I need you to understand this. When Christ came, Jesus did not come just to tell us whatever he wanted to tell us. You got to understand this. Whatever Jesus said, it was what the Father gave him to say. Amen. Come on, let's go to the Old Testament. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, let's go to the Old Testament. We still believe in the Old Testament because the Bible still said those things written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So we go to the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter is 18. And let's look at verse number 15, because Moses was telling Israel what God had revealed to him. And watch what the Bible says. Go to read.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet.
Watch this now. Moses said, God is going to raise thee up a prophet.
From the midst of thee.
From the midst of you.
Of thy brethren.
Of your brethren.
Like unto me.
Come on.
Unto him ye shall hearken.
You shall hearken. Come on.
According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God.
Come on and read.
In Horeb, in the day of the assembly.
Go on and read.
Saying,
yes.
Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God.
Uh-huh.
Neither let me see this great fire any more.
Come
that
on,
I
read.
Die not.
Come on and read.
And the Lord said unto me,
yes.
They have well spoken that which they have spoken.
Go ahead and read.
I will raise them up a prophet.
All right, now watch this now. I'm gonna raise them up a prophet.
Among their brethren. Like unto thee.
Like unto thee.
And I will put my words.
God says that I'm going to put my words.
In his mouth.
Whatever he says, God says, I'm going to put my words in his mouth. So whatever Jesus said, it was what the Father gave him to say.
That's right.
I know that's right.
Yes.
Let's go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let's listen to Jesus himself. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48, Let's see what the Bible says.
He that rejecteth me.
Now Jesus again say, he that rejecteth me.
And receiveth not my
words. And receiveth not my words.
Hath one that judgeth
him. Hath one that judge him.
The word that I have spoken.
He said, the words that I have spoken.
The same shall judge him.
Watch this now. The same shall judge him.
In the last day.
Watch Jesus. Come on and read.
For I have not spoken of myself.
Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself.
But the Father,
which sent me,
He gave me a commandment,
what I should say,
and what I should speak.
You got to understand, my friend. Jesus did not just come and say whatever he wanted to say. What Jesus said was what the Father gave him to say. So when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," those were the words of his Father. Now you got to understand, God, what does God want? God want all of us to be one. He want us to be one. Now Jesus comes, and you got to understand this. Now before I get to going. One thing you got to understand about the Bible, numbers are important. When you read numbers are important. And the number 7 is a very important number. Number shows us various things. I don't have time to deal with all of this, but when the number I'm looking for tonight is number 7. Okay. The number 7, whenever there's a list of 7 things, 7 represents completeness. It represents wholeness. You can't add to it, and you cannot take it away. 7. God created the world 7 days. 6 days he worked, rested on the 7th day. 7. God told the prophet Elijah to tell Naaman to dip 7 times in muddy Jordan. 7. The priest had to go in and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. Sprinkle the blood 7 times. 7. You remember 7. The Bible said God told Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho. It took them 7 days to do what God said. On the first day, they marched around 1 time. The 2nd day, 1 time. 3rd day, 1 time. 4th day, 1 time. 5th day, 1 time. 6th day, 1 time. On the 7th day, they marched around 7 times. And the walls came tumbling down. 7 is the number of warnings we see in the book of Hebrews. 7. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 seals. This number helps us to understand completeness. You can't take it away, and you can't add anything to it. Now, I want you to see this, because when Jesus was praying, we're in John 17. In John 17, I want you to watch this. 7 times Jesus mentions 1. 7 times he says, you and I ought to be 1. Watch what the Bible said. We're in St. John chapter 17 and verse number 11. Let's look at St. John 17 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says.
And now I am no more in the world. But these,
Jesus prays, are in the world.
And I come to thee.
Holy Father.
Keep through thine own name. Those thou hast given me. That they may be one.
Don't miss this now. That they may be one.
He prayed
that we be one. That's 1 time. Drop down to verse number 20. Look at verse number 20.
Neither pray I. For these alone.
Now don't miss that. See that word alone? That's 2 words put together, which means all one. He's saying these disciples, they are all one. They are together. They're listening to me. And at this point, while I pray, they are together. You didn't have a situation where the Apostle John was in a Baptist church and you had Peter in a Methodist church. They were all together. They were one. And so when he says all one, they were all together. Neither pray I for these alone, these who are all one. So the second time he mentions one. Okay. Come on, read, sir.
But for them also, which shall believe on me through their words.
Through their words. Come on.
That they all may be one.
Three times. That they all may be one. Come on, read, sir.
As
thou, Father,
art in me,
and I in thee,
that they also may be one.
Number four, they all may be one
in us.
Come on, read.
That the world may believe.
That the world may believe.
That thou hast sent me.
Come on.
And the glory which thou gavest me.
And the glory that thou gavest.
Gavest me.
I've given them.
That they may be one.
Five times they all may be one. Come on, read, sir.
Even as we are one.
As we are one. That's six times. Come on, read.
I in them. And thou in me.
Thou in me.
That they may be made perfect.
That they may be perfect.
In one.
Seven times Jesus in his prayer said for us to be one. Now look at what we have. God mentions one. He wants us to be one. Jesus Christ, mentioning the words of his Father, he says, for us to be one. Now, how is this possible? How will it be possible for all of us to be one? Now, I mentioned that God, the Father, he designed. Christ came and he directed. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to develop the plan. Let's look at this. Let's look at this in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse number 1. Now, before I get there, now, the Holy Spirit, again, does not just go off on his own. Because the Holy Spirit, give for me John 16 in verse number 13. John 16 in verse number 13. Watch what the Bible says. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he...
The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you.
Watch it now. He will guide you
into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself.
The Bible said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself.
But whatsoever he shall hear. That shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
And so therefore the Holy Spirit did not just go off on a tangent and say whatever he wanted to say. The Holy Spirit only said what the Father gave him to say. Now the Holy Spirit is going to develop the plan. The Holy Spirit is going to help us tonight as to how in the world can we all be one. When he said one, he's talking about everybody. He's not just talking about just a few. He wants everybody to be one. Well, how can this happen? Let's look at the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we are. Ephesians chapter 4 at verse number 1. Listen to the word of God.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord.
Now, Paul says, I therefore, I'm a prisoner. Paul said, I'm not a prisoner of Rome, but I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that as Christians. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you understand something about a prisoner? A prisoner does not go anywhere he wants to go. A prisoner does not dress any way he wants to dress. But a prisoner is under the controls and the dictates of somebody else. We are Christians. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Come on and read, sir.
Beseech you.
Why should Paul say, I'm begging you?
I'm begging you that you walk worthy of the vocation.
Well, you walk worthy. We've been called into Christianity. We've been called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul says that we've been called by the gospel. We've been called. I know that's right. We've been called. And Galatians chapter 1 in verse Number six, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of God into another gospel, which is not enough. We've been called. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. For all things work together for good for them that love God, who are the called. We've been called. First Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says we've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. We've been called. He called us. He called us, and we are called today by the gospel. He calls us by the gospel. And Paul says, you are worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Come on to read, sir.
With all lowliness.
Now here you go. You the Bible said, with all lowliness. You got to have some humility.
Yes.
We got to learn how to be humble. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things is in life, listen, all of us have been wrong about something. There's some things that we have done, and we learned later on that what we've done was wrong. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to religion, you have to be honest. Amen. I said, when it comes down to religion, you have to be honest. Amen. First of all, you got to learn to be honest with yourself. Yeah. Because sometimes you could believe something, and you could be honest and sincere about what you believe. Yeah. But then later you found out you were honestly wrong, and you were sincerely mistaken. Now, what you have to do then, you got to learn to be honest enough to make a change. On that great and notable day of Pentecost, the Bible says there about 3,000 souls recognized they were wrong, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ. You know, that's interesting because, you know, Brother Mitchell back home, you know, a lot of folks say, well, you know, that was amazing. On one day, about 3,000 souls were saved. And I thought that was interesting. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, some preachers say, how in the world can today we get that type of response? And about 3,000 folk, these bugs just going to keep on bothering me. I'm going to keep preaching anyway, though. How in the world can we get that kind of response? You know, when you look at the Bible, in the book of Numbers chapter 1, verse number 45, the Jews, the males, were numbered. And when you go back and look at that, the Jews were numbered. The males were numbered. And the number was 603,550. Think about this now. 603,550. Now, if the death rate and the birth rate stayed the same, when you get to Pentecost, that means if you still had the same number, 603,550, and about 3,000 were saved. Let's break that down. I love math. That's my favorite subject. If you got 603,000, let's round it off. 10% of that is 60,000. If he baptized 10% of the crowd, that's 60,000. If he baptized 1%, that's 6,000. He baptized about 3,000. That means a half of a percent actually was baptized. That means 99.5% heard the truth but walked away. Don't ever get discouraged when people don't obey the truth. My job is just tell the truth. If you walk away, it's not my message. But that same word that you reject, you're going to have to face it in the last day. My job is just tell the truth. Tell the truth. An honest heart, that half of a percent, that truth, that honest heart, they will obey. And so therefore, getting back to Ephesians, I know where I am, Ephesians. The Holy Spirit now is going to help us. He said, with all lowliness.
And meekness.
And meekness.
With
that strength
suffering.
Under control. Meekness, strength under control. Come on to read, sir.
With long suffering.
Watch this now. With long suffering.
Forbearing one another.
We
in
got
love.
To learn how to put up with one another.
In
forbearing
love.
One another. How are we going to do it?
In
you got to do it in love.
And
you got to do it. You have to do this in love. Back home. Brother Mitchell, I'm doing a 12-month series back home. The first 3 months, I'm teaching the church how to love God. Because everything starts with loving God. You got to love God. So the month of January, February, March, we're just talking about loving God. Helping them understand what does it mean to love God. You can't love God if you don't put God first. You got to love God above everybody else. And then the next 3 months, we're going to be talking about the idea you got to learn to love your brothers and sisters. Yeah, we got to learn to love one another. By this shall all men know, John 13, 34 and 35, that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. And the next 3 months, July, August, September, we're going to be talking about loving your neighbor. You got to love them enough to share the truth with them. And then the last 3 months, we're going to be talking about loving yourself. Because the problem with a lot of folk, not y'all cousins back in the States, and the problem with the folk is they love themselves so much they can't love nobody else. Yeah, we got it backwards. That's why we all messed up. Because we love ourselves. We are taught, look out for yourself. Nobody else going to look out for you. Look out for yourself. You number one. Always look out for number one. And the problem is, when you become a Christian, you got to understand it's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so therefore, I got to hurry. I feel like I need to hurry tonight for some reason. He says, with all meekness, and he says, forbearing one another in love.
Endeavoring.
Watch this now. Endeavoring.
To keep the unity
now,
of the Spirit.
Now notice what he says. He says endeavor to keep. The problem with a lot of folk, they're trying to make unity. You don't have to make unity. Unity was here before we got here. Our job is not to make it. Our job is to keep it. It's to keep what God has already made. Keep the unity of the Spirit.
In the bond of peace.
Watch the book. Come on and read, sir.
There is
now watch
body.
This now. Now he's going to tell us. Now the Holy Spirit is going to tell us. How can you and I be one? Now the Holy Spirit is going to tell us. And what he's getting ready to do, church, don't miss it. He's going to give us seven things.
Okay.
There are seven things needed for us to all be one.
Yes, yes.
And if we can all be one on these seven things, we can all be one tonight religiously.
Amen.
Watch what the Bible says. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Go ahead and read, sir.
There is one body.
Don't miss this now. He said there's one body, which means there's only one place. That one body means that God only has one place. There's only one place of salvation. You remember back in Ephesians, we looked at that, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. The Bible said he might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. There's only one place. Only one place. The Bible tells us that we are called to that one place. Look at your Bible. Colossians chapter 3 at verse number 15. In the book of Colossians, the chapter is 3 at verse number 15. Watch the Bible. And let the peace of God
rule in your heart.
Rule in your heart.
To the which also. Ye are called.
Watch it now. You are called.
In one body.
You see the Bible says? We are called in one body. And you got to understand that. What's that one place? That one place is the one body.
Yes.
There is but one body. I come by here to tell you, one body, and I said this before and I'll say it again. Paul, help us understand the concept of the one body. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23, Paul says that husbands, love your wives, yet Christ also loved the church, and he's the Savior
of the body.
Now, whatever the body is, Christ is the Savior of it. I said, whatever the body is, you and I need to be in it because Christ is going to save it. Whatever this body is, Christ will save it. Chapter 5, he's the Savior of the body. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 at verse number 4. The Bible said there's only one body.
One body.
Look at what we have. One body, chapter 4. Chapter 5, Christ going to save the body.
Yeah.
Whatever the body is, chapter 5, Christ going to save it. Whatever the body is, chapter 4, there's only one of it. And chapter 3, the Bible said that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body. He wants all of us in the same body. The S-A-M-E body, not the A-M-E. Some folk got confused, went over to the A-M-E. He didn't say A-M-E. He said the S-A-M-E. So whatever that body is, chapter 5, Christ gonna save it. Chapter 4, there's only one. Chapter 3, he wants all of us to be in the same one. In chapter 2, verse number 16, the Bible says we are reconciled to God and to one another in one body. Reconciled, chapter 2, same body, chapter 3, one body, chapter 4. Christ gonna save the body, chapter 5. What is that body? Chapter 1, verse number 22 and verse number 23. Watch the Bible. Go to read, sir.
And hath put all things
put all under things his feet. Under Christ's feet.
And gave him to be the
gave
head.
Gave Christ to be the head.
Over all things. To the church.
Watch this now. To the church.
Which is. His body.
What is the body? The Bible said the church.
That's right.
It is his body.
Amen.
So in chapter 5, what is Christ going to save? He's going to save his church.
Yeah.
In chapter 4, there's only one church.
Yeah.
In chapter 3, we ought to all be in the same church.
Yeah.
In chapter 2, we are reconciled to one another and to God in that church, because chapter 1, the church and the body are the same.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, one place.
Amen.
Holy Spirit says there's only one body, which means church, there is but one place. So if you're not in the body, that means you're out of place. I say, if you're not in that one body, that one church, that means you're out of place. You see, you could be a good person. I'm not saying you're not a good person. You're not an honest person. You're not a moral person. I'm just saying you're out of place. Because God, speaking through the Son and the Spirit, says there's only one body, which means there's only one place. All right, the Bible said there's one body and what else?
And one Spirit.
Don't miss this now. There's only one Spirit. That means there's only one purpose. The Spirit has one purpose. What is the purpose of the Spirit? The purpose of the Holy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. The purpose of the Spirit is to get us all in the one place. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the word, the words of the Spirit. The Bible says the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so it's the Bible, the words of the Spirit. My friend, God speaks to us through the Spirit, through the words of the Spirit. And my friend, and they direct us to the one body.
Yeah.
Because the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, the Bible says,
For by one Spirit are we all baptized.
Are we all baptized
into one body?
You see, the Bible says the purpose of the Spirit, that's why we have the word, is to get us into one body.
Yeah.
The job of the Spirit is not for us to do whatever we want to do. His purpose is, when you read the word of God, when you read the words of the Spirit as they directed those men to write, therefore what we find is they will lead us to only one church. That's the place. And if you're not in that place, you're not leading. You're not reading what the Spirit says. You can't be reading the word of God. And so therefore, I got to hurry. The Bible said, listen, that there's one body, one place, one Spirit. There's one purpose. Come on and read, sir. We're back in Ephesians 4. Back in Ephesians 4.
Even. As ye are called.
You are called.
In one hope.
Don't miss this now. You and I have one prayer. That's the one hope. Well, what is that prayer? Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. Now, we talk about hope. Hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a confident expectation. Well, man has, the concept is, we have one hope, one prayer. What is that hope? In Titus 1 and verse number 2.
In hope.
The Bible said, in hope
of eternal
life. Eternal life.
Which God
that cannot lie
promised
God
before.
Promised before the world began. Listen, man's prayer, man's only hope is that he'll be saved one day.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to me. If you are not in the place, having been led there by the teaching of the Spirit, my friend, you have no hope. You don't have a prayer. There's no way you could be saved if you're not in the one place. being led by the one purpose of the Holy Spirit. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to run to the end's going to be. See what the end's going to be. Well, if you're not in Christ Jesus, I can tell you what the end's going to be. Jesus again said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The words I've spoken, those same words will judge you. They're going to judge you in the last day. Amen. And so look what we have, church. We got one place, one body, one place, one spirit, one purpose, one hope, one prayer. Go ahead and read, sir.
One hope of your calling.
What hope of your calling?
One Lord.
Don't miss this now. There's only one Lord. That means he only has one people. The Lord is not Lord over everybody. Some people say, well, he's my Lord. He's the head of my life. No. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? He's not your Lord if you don't obey him. You can't say he's my Lord and I'm not going to listen to what he says. You got to recognize, my friend, to say he's Lord is to say that he is the one now who's over your life. You are saying that you are subject to Jesus Christ because he can't be your Lord unless you are subject to him. Well, I come by here to tell you, if you are not in his church, you are not subject to Jesus. Get from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 24. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 24, I want you to watch what the Bible says. Ephesians 5 verse 24. The Bible says, Ephesians 5. Yeah, that's New Testament. Yeah, Ephesians 5 and verse number 24.
Therefore, as the church is
the Bible
unto
said,
Christ,
therefore, as the church
is subject unto Christ,
is subject to, which means if you are not in the place, if you're not in the church, then you are not subject to Jesus Christ. No need to call on him if you are not one of his subjects. And the reason you're not one of his subjects is because you have not been born into his family. The church is subject to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm saying to you tonight, if you want, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord, you're going to have to obey him. You're going to have to come under his lordship. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said, Colossians 1:18, that he's the head of the church. And if you're not in the church, that means he's not your head. He's not your head. That's because you're not married to Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The Bible mentions these descriptive terms about the church. The church, it goes by many descriptive terms. We know the church, as the assembly of God. Those who assemble under his name. B, it is the bride and the body of Christ. The bride talks about his love. The body talks about the understanding of an organism. C, the church is those who have been called. D, those who have been delivered. E, it's eternal in nature. F, the church, it is the family of God. G, it is God's choice. H, it is the household of faith. I, where those who have included have been incubated. J, the church is the joy of heaven. K, is the kingdom of God's dear son. L, is the Lamb's bride. M, is the mystery revealed. N, is the New Testament fulfillment. O, of Old Testament prophecy. P, is a place of pardon. Q, where the quickened have been quarantined. R, where the righteous have been received. S, where the saved are set. T, it's the temple of God. U, the unity of the Spirit. V, where our victory has been validated. W, the church is called the way. X, is exalted above the hills. Y, is Yahweh's son, Jesus Christ. Z, it is Zion, Zion. Thank God for the church of Christ. The church of Christ. And so therefore, my friend, he only has one people. He's only Lord over his people. He's only Lord. You see, the idea, he's Lord. He's the head of his people. Now, just like your physical body, think about this. your head only controls what's under it. I'll give you a moment to think about that. I say your head only controls what's under it. Your head, my head, controls nothing that's over it. Jesus controls that which is under him. You got to be under his control. You have to be in the church that he's the head of. And if you're not in the church that Christ is the head of, then he's not your Lord. Look at what we have tonight. One place, one body, one purpose, one spirit, one prayer, one hope, one people, one Lord. You ready for my brother?
One faith.
Watch this now. The Bible says there's only one practice. There's only one faith. Now, that means you can't have your faith and I have my faith. The Bible says there's only one faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13, Paul says, for we all having the same spirit of faith. Paul said we all having the same spirit of faith. Now you got to understand. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, sir. And when you look at verse number 11, God gave the church certain offices. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, and he did that for a purpose. Watch the Bible. Go to read.
And he gave some apostles.
And he gave some apostles.
And some prophets.
And some prophets.
And some evangelists.
Some evangelists.
And some pastors.
And some pastor teachers.
And teachers.
Come on, read.
For the perfecting
for,
of the
watch
saints.
This now. Why do you do this? For the perfecting or maturing of the saints. Come on, read.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry. I don't have time. The work of the ministry. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants his word to get out. That's the ministry of every child of God. For the work of the ministry. Come on and read.
For the edifying.
For the building up.
Of the body of Christ.
Of the body of Christ. Come on.
Till we all come.
Till we all come.
In the unity.
To the unity.
Of the faith.
He wants our faith to be unified. This is why he did what he did. He wants us to be unified. Look at what we have. We got to hurry. One body, one place. One spirit, one purpose. One hope, one prayer. One Lord, one people. One faith, one practice. And the Bible says, go to read, sir.
One baptism.
One baptism. Listen, there's only one type of preaching. I don't care what a guy does. He can stand before you with a microphone. He can talk 45 minutes, talk an hour and a half. He can sweat all he wants to. But if he doesn't preach baptism, he's not preaching. In preaching, you must preach baptism. Because baptism is how a person accepts Jesus Christ. I know that's right. Come on, brothers. Come on. Come on. In the book of Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. And let's start reading around verse number 1. I'm going to read about a man by the name of Philip. Philip was called to go down to a city of Samaria. And as he go down to Samaria, the Bible says he's preaching. He's preaching. All right, if you have verse number 4, watch the book. Acts 8, verse number 4.
Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere.
They went everywhere.
Preaching the word.
Watch this now. They went everywhere. What are they doing? Preaching the word. Yeah. Go to read, sir.
And Philip went down.
Watch this now. Philip goes down.
To the city of Samaria.
Philip goes down to Samaria.
And preached Christ.
What is he doing? He preaching Christ.
Unto them.
I said he's preaching Christ. What is he doing? He's preaching Christ. Yeah. Now, what does that mean? In Samaria, preaching Christ. Yeah. What does that mean? Drop down to verse number 12. Look at verse number 12.
But when they believed Philip preaching.
Now, hold on. He's preaching. What is he preaching? He's preaching Christ. Yeah. All right, now he's going to tell us his 3 points. What were the 3 points to preach Christ? Go ahead and read, sir.
The things concerning the kingdom of God.
Number one, you can't preach Christ if you don't talk about the kingdom. Don't have time, but the kingdom and the church are the same. You can't preach Christ if you're not preaching about that one church.
Amen. Amen.
Bible says he's preaching the kingdom. Go to read, sir.
And the name of Jesus
Number
Christ.
Two, he's preaching the authority of Jesus Christ. Because whatever the Bible said, Jesus says, all authority,
yes,
all exousia has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has all authority.
Yes.
So you got to preach the authority, which means if you're going to preach, you have to recognize that Jesus authorized that. We'll be dealing with that this week. Did Jesus authorize it? You say, well, Brother Pounds, in our church, we have a choir and we have instrumental music. I hear you, but the question is, did Jesus authorize it? You see, Brother Pounds, in our church, we have women preachers and we got women elders and women deacons. I hear you, but my question is, did Jesus authorize it? In our church, Brother Pound, we sprinkle and we pour water on people, substituting that for baptism. I hear you, but the question is, did Jesus authorize it? If he didn't authorize it, my friend, I come by here to tell you, you're not preaching Christ. You're not preaching Christ. The Bible says he preached the kingdom, which is the church. He preached Christ's authority. And then the Bible said, what happened? Go to read, sir.
They were baptized.
How would they have been baptized? He had to have taught them.
That's right.
Because you won't know what to do unless someone teach you. And the Bible said they were baptized.
Both men and women.
Both men and women. So what was he preaching? He was preaching Christ.
Right.
Now let's drop down. Because that same Philip, whole city, came and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Whole city, even a sorcerer,
right,
came on out and gave his life to Christ. But then the Bible said the Lord through the Spirit calls him away. Acts 8 verse 26. And he's going to go down to a desert.
Yes.
He's going to meet an Ethiopian man.
Yes.
Who had been to worship.
Yes.
On his way back home.
Yeah.
Drop down to verse number 35. And watch what the Bible says about Philip.
Then Philip opened his mouth. And began at the same scripture.
Isaiah 53 began at the same scripture.
And preach unto him.
And he preached unto him.
Jesus.
Watch this now. He preached Jesus.
Yes.
It seemed like he only had one sermon.
That's right.
But if you got a good one, that's all you need. I say, if you got a good one, if it's effective, that's all you need. He was in Samaria preaching Christ. He goes out here with the eunuch, still preaching the same thing. Bible said he preached Christ. And what happened? The next verse says what?
And as they went on their way.
Now remember now, he preaching Christ. But as they went on their way,
they came to a certain water.
And the eunuch said,
See, here is water.
How would he have known that he had to get in some water?
Yeah.
Philip had to preach it unto him.
You cannot preach.
Unless you talk about baptism.
That's right.
Jesus got up from the dead. And if somebody get up from the dead to say something, I think you ought to listen.
That's right.
He got up from the dead,
yeah,
to come back to say, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You cannot separate preaching from baptism. I got to hurry. One body, one place. One spirit, one purpose. One hope, one prayer. One Lord, one people. One faith, one practice. One baptism, one preaching. And then the Bible says,
one God.
Listen. There's only one plan. And God has the plan. Only one. Only one. What was God's plan? Let's go back to where we started. Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. That in the dispensation, verse 10, of the fullness of time,
that he,
God wants to gather together
in one.
In one. All things
in Christ.
In Christ. My friend, you want to understand, this is God's plan tonight for us to be one. He gave us one place. He gave us one purpose of the Spirit. He gave us that one hope and one prayer. Allowed us to be the one people of God. One practice, we all believe the same thing. One preaching, because God only has one plan. What about you tonight? Are you a part of the oneness of God? Are you saying, Brother Pounds, I hear you, but Brother Pounds, you know, I'm in a church that my parents died in. My friend, listen. You ought to be in the church that Jesus died for, as opposed to being the church your parents died in. Because as much as you love your parents can't save you. As much as you love your grandparents, they can't save you. Jesus is the Savior. And I want you to understand this. You can be saved tonight. Don't you want to go through life knowing that when death comes, because death will come, you want to know that you're right with God. I want to know. There's certain things I want to know. On my house, when I signed that mortgage about 14 years ago, I wanted to know before I signed that my name was on. Are y'all with me here? When I go to the bank and I make a deposit into my bank account, I want to know that my name is on that account. There are certain things that I just want to know. When I married my wife, this year will be 32 years. When I married her almost 32 years ago, I wanted to make sure that she was going to wear my name. Now, you wouldn't allow somebody to sell you a car if your name wasn't on the title. Why would you be in a religious institution that you can't find the name written in the Bible? I thank God every time I have an opportunity, I like to run over to Romans 16, 16. I love to read the Church of Christ. That's the church that Jesus built. That's the church that Jesus is going to come back for. And if you want to be saved tonight, you got to be in that church. You got to be in that one, because that's the one he'll come back for. What do I need to do tonight, Brother Pounds? I hear you. I want to be one. I want this oneness that God talked about. I want this oneness that Jesus prayed for. I want this oneness that the Holy Spirit develops. How can I do it? By very simply, my friend, by hearing how Jesus died for you. He was buried, rose again the third day. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? That's the gospel. Paul said that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Having heard that, do you believe with all your heart? Acts 15, 7, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. It's not enough just to hear it. You got to believe it. Then you got to repent of your sin. Repentance is a turn. It's a change. I'm turning from sin, self, and Satan. And now I'm turning to the Lord. I'm going to give the Lord a chance. I'm going to now let the Lord know I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm going to now live my life for him. I'm going to sign that verbal contract, that confession, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10. Verse 9 and verse number 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then I need to be baptized in water. Baptized in water for the remission, the removal, the cancellation of all of my past sins. And then once I'm baptized, the Lord's going to add me to the church. Which church? There's only one church. See, the Lord doesn't add to just any place, because he's only head of his. He only has authority over his. So he only adds, therefore, to his. And that's the one you ought to be a member of tonight. Don't leave here tonight having heard the truth, and to walk away from the truth, my friend, and don't obey. Because tomorrow is not promised. I said you could be young and leave here. You don't have to be old to leave here. Young people are dying. Young people are dying at a rapid pace. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you need the Lord, let tonight be the night you say yes to him. Live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. He promised he'll give you a crown of life that won't fade away. You remember the body of Christ tonight? You're going astray. Come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you need prayer, Lord knows all of us do, we can fall on our knees and say, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. If you need the Lord, stand on your feet now. Come on. Come walking as we stand. Come on.
Notice what you're saying in the song. In effect, you must believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, trust. To trust is to believe.
Yes, sir.
But you must obey Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
You're here tonight and you're thinking that, yes, you believe that Jesus Christ died at Calvary. Stopping at mere belief will be of no help to you. We must move from belief to obey. We must be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. But it is to a particular set of people. And that is to those who obey him. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ gives us tonight, now. None of us here is promised tomorrow. None. Why don't you now respond to Jesus Christ after having heard this plain, simple message? Mm-hmm. Even if you were trying, you just couldn't miss the truth that came out from this lesson. Amen. Jesus Christ has one church. Yes. And I've always asked the question that if Jesus Christ was not willing to save Jews and Gentiles in two churches, think of that. If he did not have a plan whereby Jews would be saved into a Jewish church and the Gentile into a Gentile church, why do you think he's going to save men and women today in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 different churches? Where do you get your reasoning from? Christ built one church. In fact, the Bible teaches that in the same way there is one true God, it's the same way there is one true church.
That's right.
Come now. Come believing, come repenting, come confessing your faith in Christ. Come submitting yourself. Baptized for the removal of your sin. As we sing, Jesus Christ awaits your obedience, and we are here to assist you as we sing.